thankful to you for the return of thy day. We are thankful for the opportunity to come and consider things from thy word. We do ask that you would be with us, that you would grant to us the help of the Holy Spirit in what we consider from thy word this day. Lord, help us to learn. These are important things, for they deal with our worship of thee, that which we're about here today, and Lord, every day of our life, there's that aspect and element of worship of thee that is involved from the time we get up in the morning to the time we go to bed at night. So Lord, help us to have a proper understanding and a proper application. Be with our sister congregations. Bless each one this day, we ask, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we are on the second commandment, finishing it up. So, and like I say, we're going to call your attention to what's number 5 down there. And again, those relate to the note when it says note number whatever. That's the footnote up in the question that's there. I hope you get from these, and by the way, there's, if anybody needs a notebook, there's one up here, and I've got a few more coming, so you're welcome to take them. But I hope we're getting the idea of what our questions point out to us, that God takes the matter of his worship, our worship of him, very seriously. And we will actually consider this some more as we get to the third commandment and how it plays out and how we approach it. A lot of things that can influence worship, as we've seen. A lot of things that we almost consider good. You know, the family heritage, the things that we've grown up with in the church. And it's not to say that those are bad because they've been there a long time. I'm not saying that by any means. But if they are not correct, if you grow up with them, you know, as a child, you don't question those things. You just go to church and you do what you do. And as you grow older, you assume that you continue doing, and then you teach your children to do them, and so forth. And we just have to be careful. We have to be understanding of those that have grown up that way, that if we come and all of a sudden say, oh, your worship is not good, well, wait a minute. You know, if you start attacking what they hold and think to be something very special and that they're doing things right, then you may lose the opportunity to actually give them some instruction. And again, I'm not saying that we ignore it by any means, but we just have to be careful and have to understand that people are influenced by a lot of things, and helping them to see and understand that the worship of God is only according to the manner and in the way that he has prescribed in his word. And if it's anything else, it's wrong. So we've got to be careful with that. And we need to help each other be careful with that, and then try to help others be careful as the Lord gives us opportunity. So let's take a look at these last few things that we have that I have put under a caption of avoid blasphemous worship. And I've covered numbers 21 through 24. So that's on page 429 is where your proof texts are. Of course, these are listed in and come out of question 109 which is on page 424. And this is where the, what are the sins forbidden in the second commandment? And 21 through 24 is simony, sacrilege, all neglect, and contempt. All right? So that's what we're looking at. Simony comes from, as you've got the proof text there, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. I want this. I want to be able to do what you're doing. And so he offers money. Now, we aren't likely to have somebody come up and say, hey, if I give you money, can you make me be a good Christian? Can you some way put your hands on me and give me this power, whatever? Probably not going to run into that, but at the same time, there are folks that still try to buy their religion. How much they give, you know, so-and-so gave $1 million to the building fund. Now, mind you, there's nothing wrong with giving $1 million to the building fund. If anybody wants to do that, let me know. We'll create a building fund real quick. But why is given? The heart attitude. Simon certainly wasn't asking for the right reason, because if he had known and had the right reason, if he'd understood, he would have never asked to buy it anyway. So he certainly didn't have proper understanding and a proper heart attitude. People try to salve their conscience by how much they give. Never say a word. You never know what they give. But they, well, I'm giving very generously to the Lord's work. Certainly, he will be pleased with me, and he'll help me when I need help. That's the same thing. Different form, same thing. So, just have to be careful with that in all of its applications. All right? The next one, number 22, the hypocritical worship that I've got to hear. And if you look, Romans 2:22 is the proof text. If you want to pencil in there Romans 2:21 through 24, because you get a various, one of the verse that we've got does the job for what we're doing, but if you want to see a broader application, as it were, addressing the same type of thing, different forms of the same problem. But obviously what's going on here, the verse that we have, thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery. I'm all against adultery. That, you know, they get up and they say, you should not do that. Dost thou commit adultery? So the person that's saying it is doing it. No one's probably knowing they're doing it, but they're doing it. And the same thing, thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? You shouldn't have this as an idol, shouldn't have that as an idol, and yet, in our life, there's an idol. And again, so easy in some of these areas for us to fall into them, to get consumed, to get taken up by something. We're in, obviously, the last few days here before the election, political year. Easy to get taken up in politics. And all of a sudden that becomes more important, more time given than serving the Lord. And again, nothing wrong with being involved in politics. So don't misunderstand me here. But there is something wrong when church services are turned into stump meetings, politicians that visit, you know, to be seen, and churches that entertain that, even have them, you know, acknowledge, we're glad to have so-and-so here today, he's running for, or some of them maybe even get him to come and say a few words. That's not right.
and that's putting politics ahead of the worship of the Lord, and especially when it happens on the Lord's Day. So, again, don't look at these things as being things that, yeah, the ungodly do them. The big backsliders do them. They very well do these things. But a lot of these things, very easy for us to slip into in varying degrees. So be very careful. The third one, I have a bloodless worship, lack of cleansing, number 23. It's a difficult verse. And it came to pass by the way in the end that the Lord met him. There's some question about who the him is, whether it's Moses, whether it's his son. The Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, "Surely a bloody husband art thou to me." So he let him go. Then she said, "A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision." And we see here a contempt for a preparation for worship. Circumcision was nothing new. This wasn't something that had just come on the scene. It was something that Moses had failed to do. And it was something Moses, this is when Moses was getting ready to lead the children out. All right? And the Lord says, "Wait a minute. You need to get your house in order. You need to have things done." And Zipporah obviously said, "Okay, yes, we got to do it." I mean, if it was her son, it was going to die, or if it was her husband. Now, hey, I don't want that to happen, so I'm going to comply. But I don't like it. It's, you know, you're a bloody husband to me. You're making me do what I don't like to do or want to do. And again, I simply looked at this, and whether you, now, when I say a bloodless blood, not obviously referring to the cleansing blood of Christ, but the Christian religion is sometimes referred to as a bloody religion because of the dependence upon and the emphasis upon the blood of Christ. But here I take it as the cleansing because that was a part, an aspect of circumcision. And the cleansing in preparation for worship. All right? And again, sometimes we rebel at that. And we don't want to do what we know we should do. Preparation for coming to the Lord's house. Preparation for worship. Whatever the problem is, simply taking time to ask the Lord to cleanse our hearts in preparation for worship. You know, we come and we get in a hurry and get up late or whatever it may be, and all of a sudden we're here and we are trying to worship, and we come with hearts that just not only aren't prepared attitude-wise, aren't prepared cleansing wise. And certainly we all know that there are things in our lives every day for which we need cleansing. So as we come to the Lord's Day and come to worship, it's very important that we take the time. It didn't take a long time, but that we at least be aware we're coming to worship the God of heaven. Certainly, we can take a few minutes and consider our own hearts and ask the Lord to cleanse our hearts afresh so that we are prepared for worship. All right. Anybody got any questions or comments on that part? Sarah?
I always wondered why it was before I was doing that. Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously somebody hadn't taken care of it, and it would be very correct in placing the blame at Moses' feet. It's his job to see that it was done as the father. Now, why? I don't know. Why her? I don't know what happened when the Lord met them there. We aren't told. But again, you look at that verse, and while there's things that aren't said, that the Lord met him and sought to do what? Sought to kill him. Is preparation for worship important to the Lord? Well, I don't know how you read that verse and come to any other conclusion. Right? Preparation for service, preparation for worship. I mean, again, it's a difficult verse, but it's not out of line of what we've read. And we'll look at again in a minute the reasons, the punishment, the things annexed to this commandment. What God says, if you don't do it, here's what I'll do. We're going to see that in just a minute. But, and again, I mentioned this. We first commandment doesn't have anything attached to it as to what happens if you disobey it. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, that's an absolute. Kind of hard to not know what is going on there. Second commandment, you don't make idols. You don't worship me the wrong way. Why? Because of the first commandment. I am the Lord thy God that hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I'm God. I made you. I redeemed you. You worship me as I tell you. You say, well, that's kind of austere, kind of judgmental. Might look at it that way. And however you look at it, and again, when you back up, and if you start feeling like, well, God's being a bit judgmental and harsh here, just back up and see what's involved in that redemption of your soul. Was he being austere and judgmental when he gave his son? When he loved you enough to give his son to die for you? Does that speak poorly of God in this respect? Does that cast a different light on how you see what's going on in this verse? I gave my son to die for you. I ask that you worship me in the manner that I prescribe. I've enabled you to worship me through my son, through the cleansing that comes through his salvation. The salvation provided for us through him. Now, so when you start getting the wrong image, you back up and you consider again what God has done for you in Christ. You always, if you're having trouble with something in Scripture, my suggestion is you back up and you look at that, you consider that for a few minutes. Then you come back to whatever it is you're having trouble with. And then look at it in light of what God's done for you through Christ. Because it'll shed a different light. It always does. So human relationships are much the same. Somebody can make you madder than a hornet. An upset hornet. And yet, if you use the one instance, you can do things that you shouldn't do. Now, there are times where, you know, it's fighting a hornet every day. But when you do that, you back up and you consider what that person's done for you, the friendship that you have with them, or whatever the relationship is. You stop and you consider that. Then you look at this one instance in light of the big picture. All right? Anything else? Hogan? Sure. Is your question, does it have to be money?
Well, no,
I can do this for you.
Right, I can do this for you.
And
you give me the influence. You give me the endorsement.
Yeah, sure. I don't think it has to take the form of money. Service, barter. Y'all support me and I'll take care of you. Now, again, supporting right candidates who will protect our religious freedoms is important. But when that politician comes and says, look, if you'll endorse me, I'll make sure. I'd rather that politician come and say, look, I'm with you. I stand where you stand. This is what I believe. Not, I'll do this. Because anytime they're promising to do something, if you will endorse them, then you're wondering, well, is that something they would do otherwise? What if I don't endorse them? So you always, you know, take a look at that to see. So, all right, good. Anything else? Yeah, good. Gave perhaps his lack of fulfilling a responsibility certainly impacted her at this moment in the wrong way. Here she then, her attitude toward God, her attitude toward the cleansing, the being clean before God, certainly she appears if I'm correct in the way I'm reading this, and I don't say that I'm absolute in that because, again, it's a hard verse, but she certainly appears to be upset. You say, well, why? Because that was done. That was something that should be done. So why would she have even been that upset? But, again, the circumstances of the moment, yeah, good. Good. And helping others, that goes back to a little bit of what we considered a little bit last week, when we talked about the rules relative to the commandments, making sure we are doing what we need to do, but then making sure we help others do and obey the commandments or to fulfill. So if Zipporah had known that this should have been done, and Moses was just, you know, his mind somewhere else. By the way, Moses, remember now, we need to do this. She would have helped him. It would have gotten done. We would have not had this circumstance either. So, you know, there are a lot of things, again, that come to play when you consider the commandments and how we observe them and how we help each other observe them. Very important. Good. Anything else? Bob?
Wasn't Zipporah a non-Jew?
Yes. From my recollection, that would be correct. So maybe she would have known, maybe not. you know, don't know. So again, if she didn't, then we see again Moses' failure to have the right kind of influence and testimony before his wife. Good. Good. Anything else? All right. Let's take a look at the last couple of them here. And I've got this interfering with worship. Your sheet, avoid interfering with worship. And these are 25 and 26. And again, pretty straightforward. 25, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. So an obstacle, no, we're not opening the doors today to let you worship. Or no, we don't think you should be here today, or whatever is going on. They were obviously interfering with people's worship. And the next one is much the same, 26. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Wouldn't that be a wonderful experience? All Greenville showed up to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with rejoicing and glad to see the Lord moving. No, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. And the next one, who both kill the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. You know, no, you don't go preach to those people. No, we're not gonna do that. No, we're not gonna let those folks come and worship with us. Whatever the circumstance. Again, pretty clear here. One, where they're interfering with the act of worship, the other, where they're contradicting what's being said. Again, be careful. Be careful. Anytime we take issue with what somebody has said, that number one, we are sure about what they said, that we know what they said, and number two, that we've gone and discussed it with them. If we've got a problem with it, best way to approach it is to go and say, look, I'm not sure I understand. You said thus and so. Am I understanding that that's what you said? Is that correct? Well, no, I didn't mean it. If I said that, I apologize. No, that's not what I meant to say at all. And the result of that verse is, did you hear what so-and-so said? How in the world? Well, I'll never listen to them again. They must be going down the wrong path if they're taking that position. And if they were taking that position, maybe they were going down the wrong path. But maybe the way it came out was not the way they intended. And that happens to all of us sometimes. So just be careful. Go in and approach them and find out before we start writing them off and sending them down the river. All right. Anything on that question 109? The things forbidden. A lot of it there. But again, let you see how much the Lord emphasizes this through Scripture. Malachi?
I just kind of thought on the whole COVID-19 situation, specifically with regard to the last 25 and 26 points.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that various governors take such staunch stances against churches gathering together. But also in California, in various other kind of religious organizations, churches shooting arrows against other churches were daring to meet together on the worst day. So it's just kind of an interesting application of the second commandment in light of COVID.
What's going on? Yeah, you have a lot of things in play. With government and being obedient to government, with church being obedient to God, the balancing of those, sometimes being obedient to those within the church that are making the decisions, all that comes into play, and it's not easy at times, but we're certainly, there seems to be no good reason at this juncture. So, anytime you're putting a group of people together with this, you know, you've got the potential for somebody, just like if the flu was going around or bad colds or whatever. Anytime you get a group of people together, somebody in that group is sick. There's a chance somebody else is going to get sick, all right? And when you're dealing with something that we're told to be as destructive as potentially resulting in death as the COVID-19, then you got to sit up and say, so how does that? How do we deal with that? Not always easy. And it's one of the reasons I think the Lord, it's a good example of one of the reasons the Lord says you pray for those in authority over you. Sometimes there are decisions to be made that aren't easy. And these people have been put in place by God. So, you know, and then you're sitting there saying, well, wait a minute. If God put this governor in, allowed them to be elected, and now this is what they're doing, why didn't God smite them? Well, maybe God will. Maybe God is simply saying, well, you know what? They've done away with the Wednesday evening prayer service. They've done away with the Sunday evening service in churches that we would consider to be Christian churches. You know, if they don't care about my day and the things of the Lord, I just take it all away from them. I don't know. I don't know what the Lord's doing. I've thought about it. Thought about it with these fires. I've thought about it with just a lot of things that go on. Is this something where the Lord is dealing with something specific? Is he dealing with an area because of a given thing? Or is he sending a message to all of us? Hopefully we're all thinking about it. Because it's certainly something to think about. If the fire was raging around my house, I guarantee you, it'd be foremost in my mind. Well, all it takes is one lightning strike, and it could be. It's all it takes. And the Lord can make that happen anywhere He chooses. You know, you don't have to go very far from here and see where tornado comes through. You know, we don't think about tornadoes around here that much. But you go and look at the results of small damage in one sense, a lot of damage, but a small area in one sense. I mean, a lot of people affected. Some of our own having to deal with the results of it. And it just makes us stop and think of the power that God has, even in just these elements of nature. And when you think about those things, and you come back to the first, particularly the first three commandments. You know, I am God. I'm the God who directs that tornado. I'm the God that can take that hurricane and go, whoosh, and it's gone. I'm the God that can shake a whole area with an earthquake. Worship me the way I've instructed you. For I am God. And then I'm God that's redeemed you.
worship me in a manner that's worthy of that love. Not that we can buy or pay for, that we ever could be worthy. But at least our heart should desire to be that way. Good. Good. Anything else? All right, let's take a look, so we'll at least finish two today. Take a look at question 110. What are the reasons annexed to the second commandment? This is on page 430, top of the page. What are the reasons annexed to the second commandment, the more to enforce it? The reasons, the answer, the reasons annexed to the second commandment, the more to enforce it, contained in these words, "For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments," are, besides God's sovereignty over us, what we were just talking about, and propriety in us, again, what we were just talking about, his fervent zeal for his own worship, and his revengeful indignation against all false worship as being a spiritual whoredom, accounting the breakers of this commandment such as what? Such as hate him. Such as hate him, and threatening to punish them unto diverse generations, and esteeming the observers of it such as love him and keep his commandments. I mentioned 1 John last week, all through it. Such as love him and keep his commandments, and promising mercy to them unto many generations. All right? Now, we've talked about this earlier, so I'm not going to go through it again. We dealt with this when we started this commandment, and so you can look back at your notes there. Again, just goes without saying, God is very jealous as to matters concerning our worship of him. And how that impacts us, how we think about that, obviously is going to have a lot to do with how we worship, how we prepare to worship, and how we worship. If you look at your proof text for that number four, you can, and again, I would encourage you, I'm not going to take time to read them, but read those on 430, 431. I mean, God doesn't mince words here. So we can ignore it if we choose to do so, but there will be consequences. And again, you can say, well, I'm at church and I pray and I sing and I... Fine. But what about the little things? Oh, man, Sunday, I got to get up this morning. It'd be nice if I could just stay in bed a little while. Oh, got to hurry, got to do this, do that. Do the things of the Lord at times become contemptible to us? You know, do we look forward to coming to the Lord's house? Or does it seem to be a drudgery at times? Okay? Just we need to keep our... I mean, because the devil will do his best to make it that way. That's not just because we're just inclined that way. Once we're saved, we certainly have the ability and hopefully the desire to please God. The point is, we fail at times. And we fail in this area of worship as well. I will close with, as far as our direct comments on this, the last part of that answer, "and esteeming the observers of it such as love him and keep his commandments, and promising mercy to them unto many generations." If you look at the verse, Deuteronomy 5:29 on page 431, because it's certainly a good way to close our consideration of this commandment. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. Why? That it might be well with them and with their children forever. That it might be well with them and with their children forever. Now, it's not just this commandment. It applies to all of them. But I just thought here, worship, how we talk and how we act as to children, our children, other children. Do they see the joy of the Lord when they're looking at us and they come to church? Or do they say, man, they sure don't look like they're very happy to be here. You know, they watch you and the singing and you just kind of stand there and don't do much anything. Praying, they hear you pray. I mean, again, keeping the commandments, those things are things that God has commanded in His Word. Now, a couple of minutes, don't have much, but I'm just curious. When we had to, when we, the session said, okay, we're going to not be here for a few Sundays, and it forced all of us, at least on the Lord's Day, to have to deal with, okay, so what do I do? What do I do? I'm sitting here at home. I'm not going to church. It's not open as such. Now, you went to church, if you tuned in, you heard Armin preach. But that took up a little part of the day. But what did you do the rest of the day? You know, you got, I hope, at least had to stop and think, oh, how do I worship the Lord today? It became your job to conduct yourself and any for whom you had responsibility in your own worship. Here, a lot of it's done in one sense for you. You're led from one thing to another. There's prayer and there's singing and then there's preaching. And so it's being done for you. But did it make you stop and think about worship? Anybody got any thoughts or comments or anything? It made me. And, you know, the more that impacted, it tends to have a carryover, an influencing effect on the other 6 days of the week. Because you had to do more, consciously, more of the things of worship. You had to make yourself. You weren't being led. And that's what you have to do. You're on your own 6 days of the week. And we aren't devoid of worship, hopefully, 6 days of the week. So I trust some of what we've had gone through was of some help. Okay, the Lord said, here's what you do to worship me. If you don't know, pull out the commandments and read your catechism questions and say, oh, well, here, I can do this. I can find some music on the radio or on the computer, on the internet or whatever, and I can sing along. Or I can at least sing along in my heart. And I'm going to have some music. I'm going to have some considering of things of God, whether it's, you know, reading God's Word, certainly, but a story of a missionary, you know, Pilgrim's Progress, Holy War, whatever you might, you know, something to instruct your heart on the Lord's Day and that it carries over. Good. All right. Lord willing, next week we'll start on the third commandment. Third commandment. All right? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, we are mindful of What a blessing and what a privilege it is to have the Word of God to hold in our hands and to read and study. We're thankful that you've spoken to us, that you've given us instruction. Lord, help us to use it wisely. Help us to use it often. Help us to seek to use it correctly and to do what you would have us to do and avoid those things that you would not have us to do, that we might please thee and serve thee in thy kingdom as you leave us here on this earth to do so. Be with us in the time now between the services. We pray that you would meet with us here during our worship service. Again, we would ask for our minister and pray that you would fill him with your Spirit and open our hearts and our ears, our minds, to hear and to understand and to apply thy word. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.